Back together again, you and I chatting it up Thursday on the way to the weekend, April 16th, 2026, on Connecticut Today. Allegations aimed at the administration of former New Britain mayor and current Republican gubernatorial candidate Aaron Stewart were at the top of my mind opening the show, wondering about possible political damage, lasting damage, in fact, to her campaign. Former State Senate Republican leader John McKinney commented on that report and more. And we also welcomed the Connecticut Catholic Public Affairs Council Executive Director Chris Healy, who talked about a pair of pending bills at the state capitol.
Well, you kind of just knew something like this was going to happen. And we touched on this late yesterday with our buddy, our pal Dan Haar, Hearst Connecticut Media, who now has a little bit more of a detailed story on this. Actually, this is a story regarding what went on or didn't go on or alleged funny business in the office of the New Britain tax collector was posted after we got off the air with Dan last night at about 6:23. Now, you know that hardly a campaign goes by. I don't care whether it's dog catcher, whether it's state house, state senate, governor, mayor, whatever, hardly a campaign goes by where we don't have some sort of a surprise. You know, when they get to the presidential years, it's an October surprise or something like that, or an August surprise. We hear that all the time. So when you hear that phrase, you immediately know what we're talking about here. And in this case, this happens to, if not touch, and we'll go over this point by point here. Aaron Stewart is denying any impropriety here directly. We'll get to some of that later on. But you wonder now if this is something that affects her campaign in any way. If it doesn't affect her campaign in any way, is it a full-on derailment? Or is it just maybe a speed bump? You know, did her campaign know about this? Now, again, this wasn't actually subterfuge here. I mean, according to what I'm reading here, what Dan told me here and whatever, this had been going on. The investigation was going on for quite some time. So let's go over this point by point here. We'll get to my question of the day. Allegations here that the city tax collector in the city of New Britain mismanaged, these are allegations now, that the tax collector mismanaged the cash and engaged in a quote-unquote long-standing practice of backdating checks to avoid interest payments for herself and other taxpayers. Now, this is all, as we heard from Dan yesterday, these are all allegations in a report released yesterday, Wednesday, on the investigation here. Now, the tax collector, Cheryl Blagoslawski, I believe that's her how her name is pronounced. I apologize if I'm mispronouncing it. Was placed on administrative leave a few months ago in February. This after Democratic Mayor Bobby Sanchez launched the investigation. Now, you remember, he was elected in November last because Aaron Stewart said she wasn't running for re-election because she's running for governor. Now, in a written statement yesterday, Sanchez said he fired the tax collector and would now step up the investigation to uncover more of what he's calling widespread abuses in City Hall. He also said he's referred the matter to the state's attorney's office for a possible, this isn't definite yet, but for a possible criminal investigation. Now, this is important. Listen to this. Aaron Stewart is not named in the report that was handed in by the Crumbie Law Group. So they bought in, the mayor did, Mayor Sanchez there in New Britain, brought in an outside law firm to take a look at what was happening here. But the report alleges numerous irregularities and improprieties in the taxpayer's office. And she, Ms. Blagoslawski, said that in at least some of the instances, she was instructed to backdate the checks by the mayor's office. Now, understand here, you could say, and we'll get into this a little more, the mayor's office is different than the mayor, although maybe they should be one of the same. I don't know. Erin Stewart, through her campaign, issued a written response late Wednesday saying in part, now this is a response, supposedly in the words of Erin Stewart, coming out from her campaign, where she said, "I can definitively state that at no time did I ever direct anyone to backdate anyone's payments." Okay. So that sounds, pretty definitive here. Again, her statement is, quote, "I can definitively state that at no time did I ever direct anyone to backdate anyone's payments." Now, the mayor says he wants to change what he called a culture of favoritism in City Hall. He said, quote, "That ends now. There cannot be one set of rules for the well-connected, another for everyone else. Everyone pays what they owe while everyone follows the law." All right. Now, this is important here. We'll get to our question to kick it off. We'll have a soundbite of the mayor as well. We picked that up from News 8. She was also on this morning with Melissa on Melissa in the Morning. It is unclear, Dan Haar points out here very properly, it is unclear whether any further investigation might touch on Erin Stewart or her office. Lugoslavsky was elected as tax collector in 2007, appointed to the same position by Erin Stewart in 2023 after a charter change made that office non-elected, so she would have to be reappointment. Now, the report says these allegations were raised by the previous administration, referring to Stewart's office, but it added the claims were never investigated. It's also unclear, says here in Dan's story, whether or not the investigation might affect the campaign for governor. Brian Fazio issuing a statement Wednesday suggesting the investigation could be an issue in the general election if Erin Stewart wins the primary. Brian Fazio, yesterday he was on with us too, but he said this also, "There are serious allegations and taxpayers deserve answers. There must be transparency and accountability from the prior administration." So that's where we go here. So you tell me a simple question today to start this all off at 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. Will a new report into New Britain's tax collector hurt former Mayor Erin Stewart's gubernatorial campaign? Yes or no? Now, somebody was obviously sitting on this. That's the interesting thing. Whether or not timing is everything, as they say. So what do you think? Will this new report into New Britain's tax collector and her office and some of the allegations made here, again, these are all alleged by this law firm investigating this, will this hurt former Mayor Stewart's gubernatorial campaign? You tell me, 203-333-9422, 333-WICC.
Clearly it's political in nature. If we're releasing this at the same exact time that we're having this press conference and the press corps happens to be here.
All right, that was from News 8 yesterday. We've got some of the conversation that Erin Stewart had this morning on Melissa in the Morning coming up straight ahead in a few minutes. But that was Erin Stewart yesterday saying, and I don't disagree with her to a point, but she says, hey, and she was saying it during a news conference introducing Tim Akert as her preferred lieutenant governor, lieutenant gubernatorial candidate right there. And she's talking about, as our buddy Dan Haar was able to explain to us yesterday in his big story, the tax collector and the tax collector's office, City of New Britain, allegedly finding, this is all alleged, they brought in a law firm to look at this, which is the proper way to do it, but allegedly finding what some people consider to be a long pattern of financial impropriety. And the idea here is backdating checks, meaning you put the checks for your property taxes at an earlier date so interest does not pile up. And ostensibly, the city of New Britain was not required, if they got or were given the check, ostensibly saying, hey, this check came in earlier, there is no need to add, as the state mandates, cities and towns do add interest to it. 203-333-9422-333-WICC. Now, I do agree with former Mayor Stewart there on one thing. It certainly sounds like timing is everything on this. What do they say in life? Timing is everything. It's not what you do or who you do it to. It's when you do it. Because you can have the most amazing strategery there at a plan, do it at point A, point B, and point C. One of those 3 points on the timeline is going to be better than the other two. Now, again, a lot of people are saying, well, wait a minute, there's no subterfuge here, because people are saying, well, hey, when the mayor found out, Mayor Sanchez, who came over from the General Assembly, is now the mayor of New Britain, he found out what was going on. You know, he fired the tax collector and said he initiated the investigation. But do you think this sticks to Aaron Stewart? Now, you heard what she said. You'll hear in a few minutes what she said earlier today on Melissa in the Morning right here on WICC. I would guess maybe that was the first extended interview she maybe gave on it on our airwaves. I think. I'm not sure. Now, her campaign yesterday, before she was on with us this morning, her campaign said, quote, This is Mayor Stewart saying this through the campaign. Now, what do you think of this? I can definitively state that at no time did I ever direct anyone to backdate anyone's payments. There's wiggle room there, and this is nothing anti-Stewart or anti-campaign. But, you know, the crux of this is, well, I, and again, it's kind of interesting. I can definitively state that at no time did I ever direct anyone to backdate anyone's payments. Now, again, that sounds pretty definitive from her point of view. What about, and again, I'm not an attorney, I don't play one on TV or on the radio, but is there wiggle room there? And I'd love to hear what you think of this at 203-333-9422-333-WICC. Is there enough wiggle room to say, well, you know, I didn't do it, but did she, was there somebody else? You know where we're going here, right? And I don't think that's cutthroat to say that or to say, hey, you know, is this an airtight statement? 203-333-9422-333-WICC. So we start today with our question of the day. Will a new report into New Britain's tax collector, is that going to hurt former Mayor Aaron Stewart's gubernatorial campaign? Because now, even if she is telling, and I always assume people are telling the truth, that's how I operate. You know, I kid around when I say I don't trust anyone, but sometimes I do. Or sometimes it's better for me not to be a cynic here. So I will take the mayor at her word right here, where she says she didn't direct anybody in her office to do something. Okay, she can say that. What's Ryan Fazio going to continue to say about this? What's Betsy McCoy going to continue to say about this? What's Governor Lamont going to say about this? He may not say anything. Josh Elliott may not say anything. You know what they say? When your opponent is beating themselves, just sit, don't say a word. Now, the designated attack dogs on the Democratic side, they may say something. We'll keep an eye on that as well. Want to hear what you think, though. 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. All right, about this time every Thursday, we welcome John McKinney, former Republican state Senate leader, and you can see him every Sunday just about 10 a.m. on News 8 with Tom Dudchick and Liz Grantowitz and Joe Arasimowitz and occasionally Dan Haar on the Capitol Report on News 8. Hey, John, good afternoon. John, now that you've achieved TV and radio fame, do you have an agent? Do you have people I have to go through?
No, you don't have anybody to go through other than me. But here's the good news, Paul.
Yeah.
3 weeks from today,
yeah,
the legislature will be out of session,
yeah,
and we will all be safe again.
Yeah, well, so, John, let's start with that. I want to talk about the Aaron Stewart thing, but let's start with the General Assembly here. We got kind of a cloudy, muddled sort of news about this homeschooling bill a couple of days ago where they changed it, and there's one bill, SB 5 versus SB 6. But even the coverage of this by the media that was pretty good, there's still a lot of unanswered questions, aren't there, on this, or am I missing something?
I think there are. I mean, the Appropriations Committee stripped the homeschooling language out of one bill, but
okay,
there still is another bill that has that language in there. And we talked about this a little bit briefly last time. Speaker Ritter, Matt Ritter, the House Speaker, has said, you know, we don't have time to pass even 10% of the bills left. So they are not going to be looking at passing the most controversial bills unless they are overwhelmingly supported.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the homeschooling bill even has opposition within the Democratic caucuses. So I think you're going to see a very, very stripped down version of that bill, if anything at all.
And you and other people have told me over the years, they don't call a bill to be voted on unless they know and they've done the count over and over again. So besides John McKinney, a version of the homeschooling bill, what are you pretty, outside the budget stuff, what are you pretty confident in that they will call in the next few weeks here that they're pretty sure they have the votes for?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, there's a lot I think they haven't figured out yet, the leadership in the Senate and the House. And, you know, Paul, what some people should find interesting is that this time of the year, it's not just Republicans versus Democrats or the legislature versus the governor.
Mm-hmm.
It's really the Senate Democrats versus the Senate House members trying to figure out how they manage each of their respective priorities, because they have overwhelming majorities. But the Senate wants to do certain things and the House wants to do other things. And I don't think they've really come to a conclusion as to what they're going to do. One of the big bills for the Senate, they just passed the other day, and that was making some changes to limit the ability,
yeah,
of ICE agents in Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
That took a long time to talk about. There are obvious questions to whether or not the state of Connecticut or any state can,
yeah,
tell federal agents what to do. But the next question is the House going to take that bill up? That,
wow,
was really a priority of the Senate Democrats, but I'm not so sure if the speaker's going to take that up.
So if we can get inside his head for a moment, again, I tell people, the House districts are much smaller, obviously, than the Senate districts. So is John the fear legislatively of doing that, of keeping ICE and immigration in the forefront? Would Matt Ritter be a little queasy saying, hey, even though you folks in the Senate like this, this could actually cost us a district or two because of the smaller districts or not?
I don't think that's the concern. I think it's really just this was a top priority for the Senate Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
All of their press conferences, at least that I saw. So,
yeah,
I didn't see all of them, just included Senate Democrats. So that's always a tell. If you have a press conference and you have Marty Looney, the Senate president, and Matt Ritter, the Speaker of the House,
yeah,
now you know it's going to get voted on and passed. So it could be that the House just has too many other things to do.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the politics I talked about. If the Senate Democrats really want this, they're going to tell Speaker Ritter, you need to run that bill because we know you want stuff and maybe we won't run your stuff.
John McKinney is the guest. John, I want to talk about this report that came out of New Britain. Big coverage. The release was timed to go along with Aaron Stewart's announcement that she'd prefer Tim Acker to be her running mate. We all know that, even though they're separate primaries. Just from 10,000 feet away, and I don't know who you support here. I don't think that's an issue. Politically, what do you gather out of this? And could this, do you think, John, hurt Aaron Stewart here, or are her denials enough? What do you think?
Well, my first response in reading it was this is a bombshell. Mm. This is a huge issue for Mayor Stewart to deal with. And it looks like it's not over because there is continuing investigations. And yes, this investigation was done by the current Democratic mayor of New Britain. Mm-hmm. And everybody knows that the Democrats in New Britain do not like Aaron Stewart. So this clearly has some politics in it.
Yeah.
But, you know, there are a former chief of staff of Mayor Stewart's who apparently was interviewed and testified to things in here. And so the question for her, and this is the real trouble for politicians, Paul, is if she says she didn't know anything about it, she still loses.
Yeah.
Right? Because how do you not know what your chief of staff is doing? And New Britain's not New York City. It's a smaller city. So I think it's a problem because, again, according to this report, the former tax collector has conceded to committing tax fraud.
Mm.
And she's indicated that on one occasion, it was at the request of the mayor's office.
Yeah, so the word office is in there. Yeah, the word office.
Correct.
Yeah.
So I think there's more to go here. Aaron Stewart, I know her very well. I hired her back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
She's an excellent politician, and I think she's handling the response very well and trying to turn it around and saying, this is a witch hunt against me.
Mm-hmm.
The Democrats are afraid of me. And I think that gives her supporters extra juice and energy to go out and really fight for her. But I think it's too early to tell.
Okay.
It is going to hurt her. I think it's too early to tell whether it's fatal or not. But if everything in that report is true, and there are people who are testifying that, yes, the mayor was trying to help out a city taxpayer to backdate a check or to avoid the interest, that is really damaging.
John, finally, you know, I got a display ad from the state Democrats on my Facebook feed the other day, and it was interesting, and it was chiding both Aaron Stewart and or Ryan Fazio for not commenting on the war in Iran. And I went here on the station, and one of my opening monologues was, listen, I'm not surprised they're trying to, they being the majority, hook any connection to Trump to state Democrats. But my question, John, and I'll ask you, is that enough to win? Or are they going to eventually have to start talking policy and stop suing Donald Trump every 5 minutes? Or am I the fool here? Is that going to be enough no matter how good of a campaign Betsy McCoy or Aaron Stewart or Ryan Fazio runs? Will that just be enough?
That's a great question, because in the old Connecticut, I would say it's absolutely not enough.
Yeah.
People can separate their governor from the president and their U.S. senators and congressmen. People
yep.
could separate their mayor and first selectman, right, from the legislature.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but this last election cycle,
yeah.
the Republican Party lost a lot of mayors and first selectmen. They used to have more mayors and first selectmen
yeah.
than the Democrats,
yeah.
even though the Democrats control everything in state government. You know, we live in the most divided partisan times I've ever seen. Donald Trump is such a, I'm going to use the word, unique figure, because there are people who absolutely love him
oh,
and
yeah.
would run through a brick wall. And there are people who hate him so much that they actually are, one of our U.S. senators, Senator Murphy, actually retweeted
yeah.
Iranian propaganda
yeah, yeah. It's
about how we're losing the war. So honestly, you know, and you see some people on the left media who are actually kind of saying, well, we really don't want Iran to win, but
yes.
we don't want Trump to win.
Oh, my God.
And so whether it's the Trumpers on the on his side or the anti-Trump on the left, I think everyone's kind of gone crazy. So could it be enough for Democrats in a state like Connecticut just to mention Trump to win? Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Because, of course, John, Iran, how dare we go up against a and not the people of Iran, not the wonderful Persian people who want to be closer to the U.S. How dare we take out a terrorist regime? We wouldn't want to do that now, would
well,
we?
Well, let me just say this, Paul, because I used to advise a lot of candidates running for office.
Yeah.
Part of this is, don't be upset if you're running for the state Senate.
Yeah.
Don't be upset that your Democrat opponent is asking you to speak in Iran.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go to the people and say, she wants to talk about Iran. I want to talk about the price of your groceries.
Yeah.
I want to talk about lowering your property taxes.
Yeah.
I want to talk about keeping you safe in your neighborhood. That's what candidates need to do. And I think if you have successful arguments against them, people might stop using it.
Yeah. Hey, John McKinney. John, 10 a.m. Sunday on the Capitol Report on WTNH News 8. John, thanks. Say hi to everybody, and we'll talk next week. Thanks, man.
Thank you, Paul.
Appreciate it. There you go. Catholics in Connecticut keeping an eye at the end of the legislative session. A couple of bills in particular, one regarding vaccinations, but I guess the one that's getting even more airplay here, if you will, is the bill regarding that we still don't know what's in any final version of this. After a closed-door meeting yesterday, a homeschooling bill. Joining us right now, return visit from Chris Healy, who is the executive director of the Connecticut Catholic Public Affairs Council. Hey, Chris, it's Paul. Good afternoon. How are you?
Great, Paul. Thank you so much for having me on the show. I really appreciate
all right.
It.
Appreciate it. Appreciate you coming on, Chris. So we talked last time about these bills. So what do you hear? Of course, you from years up there in the Capitol, you've got great connections. What do you hear? What do we know? What do we not know about some of these bills that you speak on as director of a Catholic organization?
Well, first, these are two separate bills. They both really, at their core, Paul, deal with the issue of parental control, parental rights. One has to do with health in particular, but it has a bigger problem because it's focused on health, but it really is a fundamental constitutional issue of the protection of religious freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a bill that is supposed to literally sort of wipe out a lawsuit that's going on in the judiciary right now at the state superior court, where a family questioned the state's authority to remove the religious exemption for receiving vaccines.
Mm-hmm.
And this lawsuit has been going back and forth, and now it seems this law would basically wipe out the ability of anyone to take a legal claim against the state and then make this current lawsuit a win for the state, and thereby removing, we believe, someone's religious freedom not to have a vaccination. And once you take that religious exemption away for one thing, a vaccine, you can take it away for other things having to do with places of worship, employment, anything. It's a bad precedent, but it's worse because really what they're saying here, Paul, is that the executive branch is really going to ask the legislature to override the judiciary. And it's trying to judge its own, it's trying to cover its footprint so it makes its lawsuit successful. But the issue here is real simple. Either you have religious freedom or you don't, and you protect religious freedom when you exercise that right and let the court decide what that is before we start trying to pass a law to undo it before the decision is in. That's the one. That's the one about religious freedom. But the other one.
So, Chris. So hold on. Before we get to the the homeschooling bill. So, just to wrap up, your concern and your organization's concern on the vaccination bill is kind of that it's an end around. Am I understanding this? Where you have a scenario where this would short circuit a case that is still to be decided.
Exactly the point.
Okay.
It will nullify one branch versus another through legislation. And let's see what the court says before we start trying to change the goalposts.
Homeschooling. Yep.
But the other one has to do with, if you want to talk really briefly about this homeschooling and Catholic education bill.
Yeah.
where they're, this legislation will now require parents to register with the state if they take their child out of school for either homeschooling or alternative education, whether that's a Catholic education or a private school or any other certified institution of learning. What this is just puts people through a needless exercise when the information is already being held by the school in choice. People who homeschool have to recertify themselves every year. It's a solution looking for a problem. And more importantly, you know, for people, you know, that are homeschooled or people that are choosing something other than public education, why are their names and addresses being held by the Department of Child and Family Services? This agency, as you know, Paul, is designed to protect children from abuse and other dangers. This is an education issue. And again, the State Department of Education testified that they couldn't handle this kind of deal. And now they gave it to the investigative arm of the state, where they will have information that technically will be a violation of federal privacy laws. I won't give you that acronym and spare your listeners that mind-numbing detail. But again, this gets back to, do parents have rights over how to educate their children and to provide a healthy life for them? And, you know, do people with strongly held religious beliefs believe that, that those things maybe must be protected against the whims of the state? So those are the two things that are really important. Yeah. They're coming up early next week. We don't have, obviously, the latest version, so things can change dramatically. Yeah. We're hoping they do, but we and a lot of other faith groups and homeschoolers and education people in general are just very concerned about this new intrusion by the state.
And Chris, how much of this...
We have enough lists out there of people's names, and we really, it's very hard to protect them from hacking and other disclosures that are unfair.
You know, the cynic in me asked this, Chris Healy, how much of this, as maybe one aspect of this, has to do with money? Because if you look up, and I guess the number you see bandied about in the internet and the blogosphere is probably a couple of thousand kids getting homeschooled, they think, in Connecticut, around there. How much of this, Chris, is will also give the ability of those in the regular education community, teachers, unions, teachers, administrators, say, well, geez, look, you know, we got 21 or 2200 kids here not in the system. So that means we're not getting X amount of kids times what, $25,000 or whatever in education money. Do you think, maybe I'm wrong here, maybe I'm just too cynical, Chris, but do you think that the money has anything to do with
it? Well, you have to go by the intent. The intent is to take down names and addresses of people that aren't not following the public school line. You can infer whatever you know idea of conspiracy, but it's a point of freedom and personal responsibility, and that's where this friction is. You know, it's the excuses used to raise this bill, I think, are very thin. But at the same time, we cannot compromise on the constitutional rights of privacy, and we believe parental rights for these two important facets of our lives, education and our health.
Mm-hmm. Finally, Chris, in about the minute we have left, it's an election year, obviously, and we got a little bit of an inkling on this earlier in the week when supposedly there were some changes made to one bill or something pulled from another bill. Have you heard anything you could talk about on that, or is this thing still largely a mystery as to what the final version or versions of this will look like?
Well, it's always great to wait to the day of the bill being called when you really understand what's in it. So I'll leave it at that. You know, there's just a lot. There is a lot. People are being heard.
Yeah.
That's all we ask, that our voices are heard. And we ask people to be reasonable about what is the real public benefit of these two bills.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who do these bills really benefit aside from their constitutional questions that are very important? We would argue that they really don't serve much good public interest other than to creating more bureaucracy or making people's private information at risk in the hands of others that, frankly, aren't entitled to have it under the way the laws are written now. So,
yeah, Chris Healy, Connecticut Catholic Public Affairs Council Executive Director. Chris, you have our numbers. Give me a shout when you hear anything, okay?
Thank you, sir.
Appreciate it. Chris Healy there.